Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
That's right. You're starting right now on a Football Friday in the Loop. You've got John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging with you. A little concerned about Seth, to be completely honest. I'm not going to lie.
He's walking like me in the mornings.
I texted Sean about this in the midst of the show. I was jubilant when I found out that someone had brought him sustenance.
Like, I can feel my ribs moving.
Oh!
Like they're shifting around, but that might just be an intercostal or something.
I don't need to hear that. I didn't need to hear that.
Yeah, so important for our guy to get right. Yeah. But also, like, how important is this game as well? 713-572-4610. That's what's going on the text line. We also have the Twitch and the YouTube going. And, of course,
your transitions
are always there.
Butter, dude.
I'm telling you.
Your transitions are butter.
But, I mean, it comes innately. I don't know if my brain is just wired in a particular way.
He's the transition king, man.
I'm not taking that accolade just yet, but I try. But, I mean, that one is sincere. Like,
we got to talk about something difficult and try to see if he could transition out of that.
Oh, wow. That might be, I don't know how good of a segment that would be, but we might need to, you know, see if y'all can set up an audio obstacles course of sorts. For me to see if I can navigate it. No, I'm sincerely concerned about our guy Seth right now.
Yeah.
What do we got, like a puncture lib or a rib or something?
I don't know.
There's ribs. There's head injuries. There's okay.
Just he's, ribs.
Yeah, he's got it's compounding. That's really the issue. If it was one of all of these things.
He's got plenty of ribs.
Yeah, he's got extra ones to spare.
Yeah.
Is that how they came up with spare ribs?
He's good.
But yeah, how important is this game for the Texans and for all of the parties involved?
Yeah, 713-572-4610.
Because there's a lot of folks you can point to.
You know where I'm going to go on this. And
First and foremost. Clearly, you're going to talk about Foley Fatukasi, right?
I am not. neither am I going to talk about Dare Ogunbowale.
You better put some respect on this man.
I respect him.
Hey, that's the reason they won last week, man.
This is what
talk about it. Let them know.
We like audience participation, correct? Whether it's Twitch or YouTube or text board.
Although I don't know how much participation I'm going to particularly have because pulling the curtain back, I realized I did not have my computer plugged in and it is about to die.
It's dead.
It's not actively dead yet, but it's going. I'm watching the life drain out of it.
Raise your hand if you're over 40 years old.
My hand stays down.
Nope, not you, Seth.
Hands in the pockets.
Don't raise your hand, Seth.
Yeah, Seth, just try not to move too much.
I think the Astros have, the Texans have an opportunity via the Astros in terms of how big this game is. On the field, we're going to talk about it. On the field, we know they got to put something out there that wows us a little bit. You know, if you can be wowed a little bit, I want to be wowed a little bit. We want to see, this team not dribble all over itself in some key moments. We know what we want to see on the field. I think if that happens, I think it even compounds itself more off the field and in this city. Because let's talk about what we're going to see. You and I were talking about it before the game. Before the show, which is a game for us. Like H-Town Blue. The colors, they're passing out towels to everybody there. It's going to be raucous. They have an 80%+ footprint of the nation watching them. It's one of those things that when this team takes the field, there isn't going to be anybody looking at their phone at Astros games, at an Astros game. There isn't going to be anybody talking about the Astros. The Astros are out. And what I'm saying is, and maybe it's more of a question, do you feel like the Astros' loss, as bitter as it was, is kind of the Texans' gain in terms of it's open? You know, the palette is there. You can paint your own picture. The city could be yours, but you got to do it on the field. You know, they both go together. If you put together, if let's say C.J. Stroud puts together a transcendent-type performance, that might be it. The Texans might just be the dominant force in this city. That's what I feel.
Yeah, and the city is waiting for it, too. The city wants that to be the case. The city is clamoring for that opportunity. So I think that is very much an opportunity that lays before this team, is an opportunity to galvanize the city behind it in a way that we've seen the city come behind the Astros recently. And, in history again behind the Rockets and, of course, like behind the Oilers. Well, this is really a shot. And we've talked about this in some degrees with just the way that the Texans are going forward in general. I have been a big I've benefited greatly from that, is walking into a city that's like, yo, this football team is exciting. I was talking about it at the event that we were at, yeah, NRG Stadium with some folks where they were like, you know, sales types. And so they often have, you know, tickets that are, you know, given to them to maybe give to someone else. Mm-hmm. And there was a point in time where, you know, people were, they had tickets that they couldn't give away, that yeah, they were like, I don't know, I don't want to deal with traffic. That's not the case right now.
No.
And it could balloon even more so, mm-hmm, with a win here. And I think that is because this game is important on the field as well.
Yeah, like, it's a marquee game.
This is a measuring stick game, and maybe the truest sense of the word, in that we've seen this team and they've gotten wins, but they have not been convincing in the question of, are you truly contenders that really can go and compete against the best of the league?
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly who I was listening to, but they made a point that I, you know, begrudgingly had to admit was valid.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been Mike Florio, that, hey, this Texans team, they won 10 games last year and all that, but I don't know that they beat a team that they weren't supposed to beat.
Right.
Like, they beat the teams they were supposed to beat, and they lost to probably the teams that they were supposed to lose to.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that kind of profile, you're looking at a team, as described, that's, you know, okay, that's fine, but they're not somebody to write home about. Like, it was nice, mm-hmm, on a curve because, yeah, oh, wow, you weren't supposed to be here yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I think this Bills game gives you the opportunity to prove, probably to yourself, but then also to the footballing world,
yeah,
that no, this isn't just a team that's going to take what's supposed to be given to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go take more than that and have the possibility of being a nuisance to everybody. And not a nuisance in the way that we're talking about the Titans, where they're the, yeah, ankle biters. A nuisance in that they can mess up your whole game.
Yeah, no, and what you just said there is kind of where I was going to go as well. The Texans have transformed themselves from a marketing and public relations perspective. But you can have all the marketing and public relations and good vibes and Paul Wall and, you know, Bun B and wearing the colors.
Oh, that made me even more excited.
And all that. But here's the thing. You can have all that you want, but at some point it has to happen on the field.
Yeah.
It has to happen on the field. And that's where I'm saying, like, the Astros are sort of out of sight right now. If you make it happen on the field, this team will take over this city, could start taking over this city. And one of the texters, I believe from the 281, said, you got to be delusional. Until they win a Super Bowl, it's not going to happen. Oilers didn't win a Super Bowl. I've never seen anything like it in my life, or very few, like what this city was like when the Oilers. That's why I said, if you're over 40, raise your hand. You know, they didn't win a Super Bowl. I'm talking even the 90s Oilers didn't win a Super Bowl. They captivated this city. They dominated, you know, every news outlet, every storyline, everything that happened. So, no, that I don't agree with that. If you can start doing this, then you get the city in the palms of your hand, and there's never been a better. I think the best opportunity for the Texans since 2020 at the point, but it was 2019 season when they had that lead against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what the Texans have this weekend.
Yeah, and I think that I hear you, what you're saying with the Astros, with the championships and everything, but, and this comes in from the 832 immediately as I'm about to say it, football is just different,
mm-hmm,
right? Like, the Astros have been incredible. Some people will, you know, kind of quibble about the idea or the term of like a dynasty around that, but even the fact that you have a reasonable conversation about it means something great,
yeah,
to what the Astros have been able to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And yet and still, if you get to a place where you're legitimately pushing for the Super Bowl, even if you're not actually finishing it off and, yeah, winning it, if you are amongst that elite tier in the NFL, it is something entirely different. And maybe we're able to, the way that you can try and wave that away is maybe indicative of the fact that the Texans just haven't been there in a very, very, very long time.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. And you begin to give yourself some level of proof in that regard. If you do go out and play well, mm-hmm, against the Bills, but specifically if you go out there and win. And it's a fair thing that comes in again on the text line. And again, that number is 713-572-4610. Don't forget, the Vikings game was also supposed to be a measuring stick, and you failed woefully.
Oh, I know. Yeah, yes. But the Bills are still different from the Vikings. The Bills have been there. The Bills have been on the brink. They're kind of like what, you know, speaking of the Oilers, what the Oilers were. They have a proven commodity. They have that quarterback that is a star in this league. I think it's even different from then. And yes, they could have done it against the Vikings. I think this is going to be even different, even more different.
Yeah. So that is like the larger narrative portion of this, even on the field. A great point comes in. This could be a tiebreaker type game.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, like this is a Bills team that we fully expect to be in that postseason run, especially deep in the playoffs for the NFL, because they have been, as you mentioned, like this is a team that has been there, and they have been unfortunate to run up against the likes of the Kansas City Chiefs often. But that they have that axe to grind in some ways, and so if you can manage to get some level of leg up by getting a win, a potential tiebreaker in those circumstances, that matters. And I'm amazed that we were able to make it 12 minutes in without talking about Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. How about that?
Right? Like that whole revenge element of this, it feels realer. And again, it's kind of funny because the other measuring stick game that you had on the season was also one of those situations. But this one is fresher. This mm-hmm. one we've seen drummed up in a different way than the Vikings game. And I think it's because this game is going to be even more visible to the national public in a way. It feels like it's necessary to go out there. And you can feel that from the team itself. Like mm-hmm. the players are talking about how important it is. And even D'Amico Ryans can't fully coach speak it away to just every game and whatever. He's like, no, you'd be lying to say mm-hmm. that it did not mean more. And so if it feels like the entirety of the team is leaning into the aspect of they want to, win one for get digs in some way.
I think they are. I think it's kind of mostly unspoken and downplayed. But there's no question. I mean, there is absolutely no question from the Bills' perspective, too. From the Bills' perspective, from the Texans' perspective, Diggs is going to be the focal point. And I actually feel like Diggs is going to have a big game. I mean, this just seems to, not necessarily force-fed, but I think he's going to be in the mix. And I think he's going to want to raise his game. Sean was saying, I'm looking forward to that first big first down catch and just kind of the theater of it all. That's what's going to be great about this.
Another thing is, and we'll talk more about this as we really dig even further into the matchups of this, mm-hmm. is that this might be an opportunity. And when you talk about measuring stick, this the part that you're really measuring for me, can you run the football?
Yeah.
That has been a question that has been raised during the course of this season. And unfortunately, the answer has been really unsatisfactory for the most part, even to the point where a game where you ran the football fine kind of felt really good last week.
Yeah.
I'm in this place where you're coming up against a Bills team that is kind of conceding the run and is not very good at playing the run. Seth has mentioned many times this week how they get into some of these packages and they're pretty small, light in the butt in some ways. And so if you cannot get out there and have some level of success in the run, also acknowledging the fact that Bobby Slowick has basically talked about mm-hmm. how they had not necessarily been executing the way that they wanted to run the football quite well after week one. And so maybe they feel like they're getting back around to that. If you're getting back around to that and you're coming up against a Bills team that doesn't stop the run well,
mm-hmm.
you need to be able to run the football well this week, or else I'm going to have even, I don't even know if questions are. I feel like at that point you're going to have definitive answers.
Yeah, but that's why this all ties in together as why it's such an important game and sort of a turning point potentially type game, because on the field it has to happen, and on the field it leads to the run game and all these big issues that we've talked about this week that they're trying to answer, starting with the offensive line. Then of course that ties in with the run game. And like you beat the Bills, it's going to be a good win no matter what, because it's the Bills and they've got they're that team that can really get it done. But I think it we talked about style points last week. I think some style points come into play. I'm not going to say it's all about that, but it come into play this week too with offensive line and run game, etc.
Yeah, and now you catch me on Monday if they win this game and it doesn't look the style points aren't there, right?
Yeah.
But my tone will be very different than these other instances.
But what I'm saying is, in terms of big picture, people still wondering about this or that after savoring the victory, but if it's an impressive win and you get things done, things start rolling.
Yeah, really excited to see this one. Noon kickoff, NRG Stadium. Be early, be loud. Rep H-Town, as it's a H-Town game. I feel like the people are going to be real excited when they are able to get in the stadium or at least see the stadium on television if you're at the crib or what have you. Because it looks fun, and I feel like the vibe is just going to be incredible with this particular theme game.
And the Bills are going to travel. I mean, we know that.
Yeah, that's another reason why it's important. You got to make sure to defend home
the
turf.
The Texans have been very adamant about
hide your tables.
Oh, my gosh.
Hide your tables.
Oh, my gosh. The Texans have been very adamant about try not to sell your tickets to the Bills. It's kind of hard to find to know.
Yeah.
They're going to be around. There's a big Bills presence in Houston anyway, I'm sure, you know, like all NFL teams. But, you know, the vibe, man, the vibe in the building is going to be outside the building. It's going to be terrific.
Yeah, I'm excited for tailgating, getting mm-hmm. the feel. I was kind of shocked at the amount of Bears fans at the home opener. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure that when we get out there to tailgate in some ways, I'm going to be looking and seeing just what's the percentage? What's the split? How many people
showed
up? It's
going to be a big number of Bills fans.
I'm interested in
it. It's going to be a big number of Bills fans. And I think percentage-wise, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 20% of the crowd. What do you think, Figgy? You've been to a bunch of these.
Yeah, I think it's going to – honestly, I think it's going to be about 15. I'm going to go with 15.
Okay. Okay.
Because a lot of people are super excited for this game. They're super excited for the rep in H-Town Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure. I know, look, I don't want nobody to sell their tickets. But I wouldn't be mad if a Bills fan, like, overpaid for a pair of tickets.
See, that's the thing.
Like, I wouldn't. Yeah. I'm not going to sit there and get mad at you. Mm-hmm. But now I think a lot of people really want to go to this game.
Ooh, y'all might be a little low. If this is any level of like small indicator from the 832, they said they have over 3,000 people coming to their Bills pregame Saturday.
Probably. I believe it. But to be fair, a lot of these things are on message boards and all that. There's only going to be like one that big.
Yeah, maybe. You know? Yeah. Well, the thing about it is the Bills Mafia or whatever, they coordinate very well.
Right.
And so they pick dates.
So
and they
this
show
has
up.
Been spread around.
I do wonder if this has been something that from 4 weeks ago that they've, and further, obviously, that they've kind of had some level of inroads. They've kind of sunk their claws into in some way. So. Yeah, be loud, be proud.
It's going to be fun, man.
It is going to be a fun football game. And you'll be able to hear that here on Sports Radio 610. Pregame starts at 9 with our guys, Sean and Seth. They'll get you going and getting you ready for that game. Coming up next, we're just getting going in the loop on a Football Friday ahead of this game. Let's talk a little bit more about these Texans as we've gotten some injury news. In fact, we got some interesting injury news yesterday and even more this morning. We'll break that down next.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, you're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, are riding with you on a Football Friday. We're getting ready for Texans-Bills, the game of the weekend. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. It is the game of the weekend, even if you're not in Houston. It's the game of the weekend.
Oh, it is. No, yeah, that's
who cares
not
about
even
Sunday night football.
No, it's not even biased. Like, if you look at the schedule, this is the one.
I wonder why they didn't put this in primetime.
Yeah,
because
this is the game.
We thought this was going to be a primetime game before the schedule came out.
Yeah.
This seemed like it's primetime written all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have no idea.
We'll get into the whole schedule later, but like when I was looking at these games, I'm like, there's not a better one that I'd want to watch.
And they've been hyping this game up, too, with all the revenge game and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, good.
Mm-hmm. I'm in.
All right, so we've got some news. News when it comes to injuries that are going to affect greatly that big game of the week. Always get involved with the program by texting in 713-572-4610. We also got the YouTube and the Twitch going on this Football Friday. And which one do you want to start with? You want to start with?
Let's start with the Texans because I think it's almost like a bad news, good news, and I want the bad news first because there is good news here, people. There will be good news.
There is. All right. And then even within the Texans side of this, yesterday, Titus Howard all of a sudden popped up mm-hmm. on the injury report. I believe it was hamstring is a thing that came up, and he was a limited participant at practice today. Real quick, how does that strike you? Especially knowing that Tyus Howard, is, along with the remainder of the offensive line, has had some issues.
Hamstring injuries, soft tissue injuries, bother me a lot.
Yeah,
you know, on the week of the game, because you, number one, you never really know how bad it is. His status was limited, would seem to indicate maybe it was sore or something like that, and he'll be fine. But boy, those soft tissue injuries, they can pop into something bad real quick.
Yeah. And you know, so, I mean, that's on the right side of your offensive line. And again, I acknowledge that Tyus Howard has not been flawless by any means. But we saw Blake Fisher get in there in this game last week, and it wasn't pretty. He wasn't ready. Like he just wasn't ready. And it's acknowledgement that he's a young guy. You threw him in there just in a situation.
Yeah.
And it was tough, but I know that he's your swing tackle, right? And so if you end up seeing some level of issues with Tyus Howard where, God forbid, he can't play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Blake Fisher is in there on that right side of the offensive line, and now you're talking about all the things that we're hoping to get fixed with the offensive line, plus getting Blake Fisher more comfortable, more up to speed, more capable of handling the responsibilities of being a starter in that moment. And so that gave me a little bit of pause. And then we got more news. Trust me, we've got more levels to this. Joe Mixon is highly doubtful for this game, it seems like. Ian Rappaport reported under an hour ago that Joe Mixon, who missed both practices thus far this week, Wednesday and yesterday, is not expected to play on Sunday. So that Ian Rappaport went as far as just saying that means the duo of Cam Akers and Dare Ogunbowale are both up again to be able to handle that. I do wonder, are we just go ahead and writing off Damian Pierce? I know he hasn't practiced either, so.
What's going on with Damian Pierce?
That is a good question that I have no idea about.
I mean, it said hamstring, I believe,
on the
injury report.
Damian Pierce, yes, is still dealing with hamstring.
He just played in week one, and that was it. Man, he was never this hurt before. Uh-uh. I mean, I know everybody get hurt once in a while.
When did he hurt his hamstring?
Someone got a doll, don't they?
Sounds like
someone
it.
Got a doll, don't they?
But do you remember?
Nah. I don't think
when he got hurt?
It wasn't nothing in the game.
I don't recall. I'm going to be completely honest. Because
remember, he had, two carries or something like that? Everybody saying he had a good game. And that was it. Yeah. That's why I'm like, man, it seemed like he just fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Like nobody's worried about him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's because people were already not excited to see him placed where he was placed. Yeah. There was a lot of conversation, and I raised my hand because I was obviously a part of doing that. That's one of my pet peeves is when people that are like in media say, the media. And I'm like,
well, look in the mirror.
Are we not a part of that? So, yes.
Media.
Yeah, I was a part of, that conversation. Yeah. And I do wonder if somebody was just like, had a little doll, and they were like, right here on that leg.
Right behind the right hamstring.
You're going to be dealing with that. So, but yeah, Joe Mixon not in. And again, we've talked about this game as a potential get right game for running the football.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about that was, okay, well, it feels like Joe Mixon going to be back.
Yeah.
And we got to Wednesday, and we saw him not in.
Friday last week.
That's the weird thing. Was there a re-aggravation of some sort?
That's all I can figure. It was a re-aggravation because he practiced Friday, and we're like, oh, cool, good news. And then he misses that game, and he's going to miss another week?
And that is scary for like a larger scale of things because Joe Mixon has been largely healthy, if my memory serves me correct. All of a sudden, now you're dealing with more injuries within the course of this. And I'm not trying to say that he is old because it always feels weird doing that in this context here. But 28 years old, he is an older running back.
In running back years, it's older.
And that's the years.
Yeah.
That's not talking about the carries, right? The idea of you pay for the carries or you pay for the yards and not the carries.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a lot of yards.
Yeah.
The carries are stacking up and you start to wonder if eventually you're going to get to the backside of this and look at it and you go, oh, you might have paid for the carries as opposed to the yards. That's further down. In the more immediate, you're not going to have Joe Mixon here. The run game is probably going to be dependent on Cam Akers, Dare Ogunbowale, some J.J. Taylor sprinkled in. How do you feel about that?
I actually feel pretty good about Cam Akers. I feel like we've seen some hints. He didn't get a ton of carries, but I think he had the highest yards per carry last week, if I'm remembering, 4.1.
4.1, it sounds about right.
I think that in that neighborhood.
I'll double check for you.
I actually feel pretty dang good about Cam Akers, but that doesn't necessarily answer the question because J.J. Taylor has been in there. Ogunbowale has been in there. I would anticipate him being more of a receiver type with a couple carries sprinkled in. But so as much as I feel good about Cam Akers, you got to get more out of the other guys because it doesn't look like either obviously Mixon's not going to play and doesn't look like Damian Pierce is going to play.
Yeah, so that's all there on the Texans side of this. Now, I guess what you could term the good side.
You want the good news? Figure you want the good news?
Please.
Yeah,
please.
Let's turn those frowns upside down.
You are not the only one that was playing the car crash board and apparently is dealing with injuries.
Yes, Bills head coach Sean McDermott today, just moments ago, ruled out receiver Khalil Shakir and Ed Oliver for Sunday's game against the Texans. University of Houston's own Ed Oliver.
So he doesn't get to make his return on the field.
So keep in mind, Von Miller ain't playing either.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So he's dealing with a four-game suspension.
They're going to be without Von Miller and Ed Oliver on the defensive front, and one less weapon for Josh Allen.
Yeah, and I mean, I know you still have the likes like A.J. Epinesa and stuff, but that is a team that likes rotating through their front, their defensive front. And you give them fewer guys to rotate on that defensive front, maybe that keeps them less fresh. Maybe they're less effective, especially as that game wears on.
Yeah.
And maybe that gives C.J. Stroud less guys in his kitchen where he's operating and more opportunities to find the likes of Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, and hopefully Tank Dell down the field and get those things going. But I actually, Khalil Shakir is really the interesting thing to me because against the Ravens, and of course that felt somewhat anomalous. We'll see if the Texans can kind of make the Bills play kind of like they did against the Ravens last week. But against the Ravens, they didn't have a very productive offense. It was a few shots, and Khalil Shakir was a big part of that when Josh Allen is like creating time and continuing to find space and then ultimately unleashing the ball across his body down the field. Khalil Shakir is who he's looking at. That is the kind of tip of the spear when it comes to their passing offense as much as any player, receiver individually is. And so you still have Josh Allen that you're contending with, a more MVP caliber Josh Allen compared to the younger, more prone to mistakes, one that you saw when he was playing at NRG last time that these two teams matched up, where he's like throwing laterals backwards for no reason, not seeing who's back there, right? Likelihood is you're not seeing nearly as much of that as you're seeing him making plays that are backbreaking, but not having a trusted wide receiver down there on the other end of it is probably going to be really helpful, and I think that this means even more so that the opportunities for big plays, that has to be completely quashed.
That it has to be. Shakir, 19 targets, 18 catches in four games. So he's a little over four and a half catches or so per game. That's a big target. That's a big weapon.
100%.
That they're going to be without.
Yeah. So defensive tackle wise, obviously, Ed Oliver's one of those guys we talk about. Like, he's supposed to be a starter. Like, I'm interested to see him, man. I feel like these guys, this Texans team needs to be able to capitalize on these injuries, because we're not talking about potentially out. That is on a Thursday, or sorry, basically before you get to practice on a Friday is what I'm trying to get to. Those guys being ruled out, which means that they're really dealing with some stuff. You should go out and take advantage. And that's on top of the likes of Taylor Rapp being out as a safety. Man, this feels like it bodes well. Everything feels like it's setting up as much as possible, at least for like the passing game to really break out and give you one of those clinics. And that's after a game where CJ threw for 300 plus.
CJ game, let's go. I mean, it has all the markings if you can get it done. And defensively, and offensively, you might have a little better advantage running the ball with those two guys
out. Yeah, interesting injury things happening ahead of what I have already termed the game of the week in the NFL. And it'll be right here.
It absolutely is.
In H-Town, Houston, Texas, NRG Stadium, noon, right here on Sports Radio 610 is where you can hear it. All right, coming up next, let's get into the question of the day. Hypothetically, you end up being appointed a commissioner of the NFL. What's your first move? 713-572-4610.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610 with John Lopez, Figgy, myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out. If you missed it earlier, and I guess also when we just talked about it, Joe Mixon is expected to miss this Sunday game versus the Bills. Titus Howard popped up with an injury designation. However, Khalil Shakir and Ed Oliver not playing for the Bills. That is official, like out. As well
out.
As now they join Von Miller, who we know is suspended for the next 4 weeks. And then Taylor Rapp is still in one of those situations where we're figuring I don't know that he's going to play as well. So those are some of the injury things that are happening we were just talking about. But let's get into our question of the day. And it's Football Friday, so it's football related. You, dear listener, have been made the commissioner of the NFL.
Congratulations.
Happy for you.
Yeah.
Big paycheck coming.
But $12 million a year or something like that?
It's, I thought it was way
it
more.
It might
than
be
that
more than that. It might be 20 like, something.
You're not digging ditches, I'll tell you
about,
that.
Yeah, I thought it was about 30, 40.
Yeah, it might be.
Before you get to go spend all that good money, you got to make your first move. What is it? 713-572-4610. Let us know what you're feeling.
I got you on this, man.
But I know Lopez. Lopez feels like the guy where he always thinks about things like this. If I was in charge. So, Lopez, you're in charge now. What you doing?
I got you. By the way, Roger Goodell, $63 million.
Yeah, we were close.
I mean, was that a year?
In 2020, he made $63 million.
What's the real difference between like bonuses 15 and 63, or? You
know? Hey, if I'm a player, I'm gunning for his job.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm trying to be him.
I don't know that you want his job.
Yeah.
Like, hey. Me, and would this you, probably says a lot about me. That just sounds like a lot of hassle. Hey, that sounds like a lot of
responsibility. And look, I'm not trying to disrespect the man at all, but yeah. Would you be a puppet for $63 million a year?
I'd be a puppet for $30 million
a year. Well, put the strings on me right now, man. Right.
My jaw would hop up and down like those wooden puppets.
It's not a real proposal in front of me, so it's easier for me to say this. I acknowledge that, but yeah. I feel like I'd have too many morals than to be out here.
Oh, I got morals,
to
but
be out here,
there is a line.
Yeah, to be out here just shilling for these owners.
I hate to shill, and I got morals.
All you doing is trying to make sure everything is cool and everything is happy. Everybody happy.
Hey, I'll have integrity with everything else in my life. But the NFL, what do you want me to do?
I know he had some hard times because you got some knuckleheads in the league that's doing stuff.
Yes,
you
gotta, sir. I will do that.
You got to figure that out. But man,
I'll never forget that image of him sitting on his couch in his basement during that COVID.
Oh
draft.
Yeah, yeah.
And that looked like a man who was tired. And I'm like, hey man, I don't know. Particularly, but
all right. So first move. Look, I got you on this. I mean, that like I'm going to dominate this.
Okay. All right. We'll decide that. You're saying that.
That's
we'll
why I'm
decide.
Laughing. Move number one is going to make everyone happy, make everyone a lot of money, keep everybody from being just a shell of themselves on Monday. Move the Super Bowl to Saturday.
Good answer.
Move the Super Bowl to Saturday.
Good answer.
There is no reason whatsoever. Oh, but it's Super Bowl Sunday. Cool. We'll call it Super Bowl Saturday. I mean, like that way you can party. You can go all night. Prime time on a Saturday night. Parties. Stay asleep as late as you want. Watch the post game show. If your team is in it, celebrate. Go get your money from the pools and the box of squares and all that stuff. Move the Super Bowl to Saturday.
But won't it seem like they're losing a little bit of money because they're losing that extra day?
How would they lose money?
Because they usually do a lot of parties and stuff on that Saturday leading up to Super Bowl
Sunday.
Yeah,
but Sunday. It's a week, man. Do Thursday,
because
Friday.
Because after Saturday, that's it. Because there ain't nothing going on Sunday. People leaving.
Yeah, those parties just shift to Friday at that point.
Yeah, Thursday, Friday.
But it's also parties on Friday.
I guarantee you,
people lead up.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I know.
People lead up Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday. So you taking that extra day away.
That's not the NFL's money they losing necessarily.
Well, that's true, too. It's a lot of sponsors. And they got the sponsorships no matter what. Move it to Saturday. Right. You want another couple? Not as impactful as that?
Well, one of them is one that I thought of, and I was
Go ahead.
Is that going to be the move? But it's one that annoys me, and so maybe it's the first one because it's the first one I thought of.
Say it.
Hey, man, we got to stop this fumble out of the end zone being a shift of the possession. It makes absolutely no sense. At literally every other boundary on the field, there is a rule that is standard when you fumble out of the end zone. If you fumble forward, the ball comes back to where you fumbled, and then that is where the ball is spotted. If you fumble backwards, then the ball goes and is spotted where the ball exited the end zone or exited the boundary. Like, that's the rule. Yeah. Why does it all of a sudden change because it's your scoring end zone? Like, that does not make sense to me. The ball should go back to where it was fumbled, and we have a rule that's consistent all the way around. It doesn't make sense, except we're just trying to gamify this and for some reason do some nonsense. If you want the football back defense, how about you grab it as opposed to it going out of the back of the end zone?
Yeah. And I think you can make it a very harsh penalty, but just don't give the ball to the other team. You know, you fumble through the end zone, make it a 15-yard penalty and loss of down. Like, make it harsh, you know, but not give the ball to the other team.
Yeah, sorry. You know? As you could tell, that one annoys me.
Yeah. And then I got one more.
Logical fallacy.
One preseason game.
That's
one. That's it.
One.
But what about all the coaches trying to make decisions on their players?
The hell out of here with that. You got these inter-squad practices.
He really is trying to make the owners happy. He's trying to make sure that he can bump that salary up to 100. Like, oh, is that a 19-game season that I'm hearing from Lopez?
That's part of the reason. It's going to be an 18-game season. And even with a 17-game season, three preseason games is too many.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make it one preseason game. 1 week of joint practices, boom, you're ready to go. Every other league does not have a preseason. Every other league.
They have preseasons.
Who?
What do you mean, every other league?
Football. College, high school. You got scrimmages. You don't have a preseason.
Sure.
Yeah.
Professional leagues, though.
Basketball.
Other sports. Yeah. You got to get ready. Got yourself ready.
Whatever.
And there is an argument to be made that the downtick in offense that we're seeing early on in the season is because these teams have not been able to get ready and get themselves up to speed to start the season.
Well, that's on them. I mean, you got
to. But it's also something that you have to consider as a commissioner, because that's the product that you're putting out.
College football seems to be all right with it.
Well, but then we all started complaining about they had a preseason. It was just when they was playing the brothers and sisters.
Yeah,
of the
but
board.
A lot of games. You know, A&M Notre Dame was the opener.
Yeah.
You know, LSU.
How did that work?
If A&M had the preseason, maybe they could have won that game.
Undefeated. Oh, man. Maybe we need a college football preseason.
That's all you need. You need to put it in the stakes of A&M. All right, Fig. You are now commissioner. Commissioner Figgy Fig. What you doing first?
First thing I'm doing is, and this is, I think y'all kind of get where I'm going with this, but if you decide to move a team out of a city, that history stay in that city.
Oh, thank you.
You have to change the name. You had to create a new team, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like the way the Baltimore Ravens did, man. When Cleveland moved there, the Browns moved there. It was a whole new identity, man.
Yeah,
like
that's a good one for you.
Yeah, leave the history in that city. I know it's probably going to be unfortunate because you probably have a team that, like some players of that team that don't really have a team.
Yeah.
And that's kind of unfortunate. But no, if you move out of this city, you gotta come up with a whole different team, man. Mm-hmm. That's the one that bothers me a lot, man. Like even looking at somebody like the Las Vegas Raiders,
mm-hmm.
like it's cool that they moved and all that stuff, but what if Oakland decided to get another team again?
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
no,
is it going to be the Oakland sailboats or something? Like, not, like it won't even look right with Oakland having a football team without the Raiders.
Mm-hmm. Oakland sailboats does sound hilarious, though.
I
think that was good.
Yeah,
You're really settling into this commissioner thing pretty nicely. I like what you're doing there.
Yeah, like, to me, I think it makes no sense. Let's say Oakland did bring a football team back. All of these Oakland legends ain't going to be affiliated with Oakland, the football team in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes no sense. It's similar. It's pretty much here.
I respect it. I respect that move, Commissioner Fig. I appreciate that. Some other ones that come in on the text line from the 832. If I'm commission, I'd okay a touchdown celebration. Free the pelvic thrust.
Free the pelvic thrust.
I respect it. 713, I like what you're doing here. They said they'd make the referee position a full-time job. Multi-billion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
So pay them maybe $100,000, $150,000 a year plus travel in the offseason, review games, clarification rules, that stuff. That's interesting. I think I understand some of the dynamics that make it a little tough, though, because I guess you just keep paying them. Like, pay more. Pay more is the answer. But, like, I do wonder.
Hey, the commissioner makes $63 million a year.
Yeah, it's like,
I mean, come on.
Cut a sliver off that. Make sure that you pay more. But, hey, it's like, I do wonder. It seems like they you know, trying to find good people to be able to work it and give up whatever else they're doing in order to be like a full-time referee. But I imagine that that's something that you can figure out. Yeah, making that a full-time job and making sure that there's constantly development there probably would be
useful. With them having a full-time job, with them making this a full-time job, I think they should get fined for bad calls. If it's a bad call where it's clearly they
I don't mind that. Figgy's embrace. That's another good idea.
Yeah. If we look at the tape and clearly this person was wrong, this referee was wrong on the call and got it wrong, he should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
He should be fine.
713 says if he was commissioner, he would put skirts on the quarterback.
Huh.
I wouldn't mind the visual.
I respect you going like, I'm not
just
going
to put the dress on.
I wouldn't mind the visual.
Like, I respect you being like, hey, instead of going for like a real tangible thing, and I tried not to say that with any level of judgment, I'm just having fun with it.
Yeah.
Which, you know what?
Yeah.
I respect it. Some other ones that have come in, they say no domes. Get rid of all domes.
Go the other way.
They said no more domes.
I know, but I'm saying I think every stadium should have.
At this point in time, just like the whole ideal of football weather is stupid to me.
Yeah.
Hey, man, dome it up, baby.
Yeah.
Let's make sure that these games hit on time.
If you build a new stadium, it have to be a dome.
Somebody said 55-plus yard field goals is 4 points. I think that's too easy, but 60, I think it would tempt a lot of coaches. If you make a 60-yard field goal, 4 points.
Oh, man, more bits coming in from the 713. Mascot fights at halftime, WWE style. Okay, all right.
I want to see the mascots against the kids playing football. That's always hilarious.
You're just going to make that mandatory instead of just like a promotional
thing?
When
they ragdoll all those little kids.
I'm not going to laugh because it's funny. When they clip this video and ultimately leads to your demise, you will be the only one laughing. I want you to remember
you
that.
You can't tell me people don't laugh like you have the
big... Oh, yeah, and the comfort of their own homes.
Baltimore Colt horse just... You know, clotheslining some 12-year-old.
What's his name? Blue.
Yeah, Blue. No,
this I wouldn't mind seeing this. The parents versus the little kid, the Pee Wee kids.
Yeah.
I like seeing those videos when they do the lineups where they try to tackle their kids.
Yeah.
That's always a blast.
Let's see. Someone else comes with the Madden rule: no punts.
Mm-hmm.
No punts. That's interesting. If we're talking special teams, I do think, because someone said get rid of the kickoff, we'll take it back. I would like to try the Shiano plan. The idea that instead of a kickoff, you are now in 4th and 15 immediately.
Yeah.
If you would like to punt, as that has been like a significantly safer transition play than the kickoff, that will allow you to also still have explosive plays because punts have been more explosive
than
kickoffs. But then also gives you an opportunity to still have like an onside type thing where instead of depending on the bounce of an oblong ball, you could put your quarterback on the field with your wide receivers and your running backs. And if you pick up that 4th and 15, now you had a football. Like, I mean, I think that'd be an interesting.
What about the real Madden rule where if it's a blowout?
Oh, 21 skunk?
Yeah. I know 21, that's a little too much because somebody could come back from 21.
Yeah.
But when it just get out of control, if it's looking like that Vikings Texans game,
30 point lead in the second half.
Run a clock at least?
Yeah, we'll see you guys.
Or if it's a 25-30 point lead in the fourth quarter,
that's a wrap.
Just wrap it up, man. That way nobody get hurt. Like everybody cool. We could get out of here safe because we don't need nobody getting hurt during a blowout.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
I think we just fixed the NFL.
Okay. Good job, Commissioners Lopez, Fig, Attitude, and listener. Appreciate you doing that. We have fixed the NFL. It'll now be a multi-trillion-dollar league. Good job, everybody. All right. Coming up next in the loop, let's get back into like the actual football of this and go around the NFL where hey, man, you like that? Because I did with Kirk Cousins. We'll talk about that more next.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com